I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word.
For there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home.
Come home, for there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole.
Made whole, for there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
And
the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home.
For there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
Yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam.
In the book 'tis written,
saved by grace.
Oh, the joy that came to my soul.
Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole.
For there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home.
Come home, for there's a
new name written down in glory.
And it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven nevermore to roam.
Amen. Thank you, men. Appreciate the special singing today from each one, and it's a blessing to hear good, spirit-filled, godly music. Amen. Well, I started to choose for a text this morning, verse 19, whose God is their belly. After our feasting and eating, but the Lord said, "No, don't do that. You're not ready to preach that." Amen. So I want to continue in our study of the book of Philippians. I've really enjoyed personally studying through and reading through the book of Philippians again. I encourage you just to continue to read through it. And it's been a blessing to me to go through the book of Philippians again. If you'll remember, we are talking about joy. Some of the things that Paul said is absolutely necessity to joy. And he began to enumerate them in these chapters that we've studied. So much to learn from the book of Philippians. And I certainly haven't even began to just graze, you know, just the top. There's a lot in the book of Philippians. Don't know that we would ever exhaust it. And I'm not speaking of just in this life. I mean in the one to come. In this passage of Scripture that we have here in chapter 3, I would get you to note with me that the Apostle Paul is talking about the Christian life. And he said, when you think about the Christian life, I want you to think about three things in this chapter. He said in verse number 8, I want you to think about like a bookkeeper. He said, yea, doubtless, and I count. And of course, that word is an accountant word. It's like a bookkeeper. Paul said, I'm keeping records. Now, God keeps records too, but Paul said, I'm keeping some records. I've kept some things, you know. I know what I came from, and I know what God saved me to. And so he said, I want you to think of the Christian life that way. And then in verse number 14, he said, not only are we to think of our Christian life as a bookkeeper, but kind of as a runner, like an athlete. He said, I press. And so he said, I count in verse number 8. But in verse number 14, he said, I press. And of course, he's talking about toward the finish line, moving toward the finish line, like an athlete, a runner. And Paul was one who wanted to finish the race. And of course, we found in the book of 2 Timothy, when Paul came down to the close of the race, he said, I finished my course. Amen. And I think every believer in the building today would say with the Apostle Paul, I not only want to finish my course, I want to finish it by keeping the faith. And I believe that each one of us would have that testimony with the Lord and for ourselves. But now in this final section, he gets into a very interesting subject. He said in verse number 8, I count. In verse number 14, he said, I press. But in verse number 20, right in the middle, he says, we look. And so he was talking about a bookkeeper, and he's talking about maybe an athlete or someone to do with the athletic or the Olympic Games. But now he's going to begin in this section to talk about a traveler. Years ago, we used to sing a song called I Feel Like Traveling On. I'm bound for the promised land. You know, there was a day when Christians used to sing about the land to come. There was a day when believers focused more on what was to come than what was now. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't focus on the present. It just means they lived the present looking to the future. And the Bible teaches that that's the way as a Christian we ought to live our lives. We ought to live our lives in the expectancy of the soon return of Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, we've heard that all of our lives, of Christian lives, certainly. We've heard Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. And while some have mocked that and some have made a mockery and asked the question, where is the promise of His coming? We would say, well, we are hastening for and looking to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I not only believe Jesus is coming, I know upon the authority of God's Word, Jesus is coming again. And He may come today. He may come today. You know, I'm asking God to help me not just to say that, but to really live that way. Because I believe if, as a believer, every person in this building, as a believer, and I'm going to take it outside of those who are believers into those who are non-believers, and I don't know who is and who's not. God does. And I believe you know in your heart. But I will say this, if each one of us really believed that Jesus could come today, it would change the way we live. It would change the way we live if we really believe that. We've come accustomed to hearing it to where it's easy to say, amen, or I believe that, or that's so, without it really impacting our lives. And so, while that's not my goal, my goal this morning is to preach to you what God's laid on my heart. You know, I really don't want to get caught up in preaching for results. I think that can be harmful. I would say that I believe every person that's in ministry certainly cares about results. I think it's a motivator to some degree. But when that's all we care about, it can cause us to become very unbalanced. And I'm asking the Lord, I want to stay focused on what God wants instead of results. Now, God wants to save people. I know that. And God wants people to walk with Him. And that's what I want. I want us to stay focused on what God is saying right here. I believe that the message that God has laid on my heart for this morning is very, very important. I think it's the purpose of where we are in our world today. There's two kinds of people out there, and you're going to find yourself in one of these categories today. And so I want you to listen very carefully. Don't deceive yourself. Okay? Don't deceive yourself. And God help me not to deceive myself. I want to know what category I'm in. All right? And I want you to listen very carefully what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, these are the two categories. As we look, now, verse number 20, as we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, you see that? He said, there's two categories of people. And those are the two categories I want to talk to you about. He says in verse number 19, look at the last phrase in verse number 19. Who mind earthly things. Now that's a category of people. You see, there is a group of people who mind earthly things. And then in verse number 20, he said this, for our conversation is in heaven, or who mind heavenly things. Now here's what Paul said. He said, when you cut through all of life, okay, when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, when all this thing wraps up, brethren, now I'm not saying if, I said when. It's going to wrap up one day, okay? My life is coming to a close. Now, it could be through a couple of ways, all right? Jesus could come, and as a person who is alive and remain, I'm going to be called up. I could go by way of the grave. But I know this. My life as I know it in this lifetime on earth is going to come to a close one day. And by the way, that's the way your life is too. Every life has a closing. Every life has a closing. We are on a journey. I want you to notice some words that Paul uses here. He uses it twice. And the Bible, this last picture, if you will, remember, he said, I count, a bookkeeper. Then he said, I press, an athlete, a runner. But he said, we look. It's like a traveler. Okay, it's like someone on a journey. And throughout the Bible kind of equates our life here on earth as we're on a journey. Okay, we're headed toward our final destination. Now, don't miss this, because it's so. And it's important. There are so many things it tries to get our minds off of that. People don't like to think about this, all right? Death is a reality. The end is coming, okay? The end as we know it right now, it's coming. It's real. This life is not all there is. Thank God for this life, amen. But it's not all there is. And we're marching toward that time when we're going to say farewell to this life as we know it. We're journeying. We're traveling. And here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said in verse number 20, he said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look. In other words, as we're journeying, Paul said, I want to be looking ahead. I don't want my life to become so fixated. I don't want to become so focused to where I'm all in with this earth. And yet there are so many things that are bombarding us to cause us to say, that's how I want to live my life. We all face it, brethren. There's not a person here that's not being bombarded with, live for now, live for the present, live for what you can see, live for what you can feel, live for what you can touch. Instead of living in light of eternity, God has called upon every man, woman, boy, and girl to live in the light of eternity, to live in the light of the eternal day when we will all stand before our great Creator and give an account of the life that He has given unto us. And so the Apostle Paul said, I want to narrow this down for you. He said, there are those who mind, verse number 19, earthly things, and there are those who mind heavenly things. Verse 17 said, brethren, be followers together of me and walk them which walk. In other words, they're in the journey. They're in the journey. They're traveling. They're walking. They're in the journey. He said, mark them which are in the journey. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And then he said this in verse number 18, for many, walk. Now that's important. See, Jesus used this same kind of language. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 7 used this same kind of verbiage. He said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. But wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. Now, there are some folks who would try to have us believe that everybody that carries a Bible, everybody that wears a tie, or everyone that goes to church is a Christian. And I'm not here to judge. I don't know what's in people's hearts. Listen to me. I do not know what's in your heart. Sometimes I even have to wrestle with what's in my own heart. Amen. So I'm not here to say who's saved and who's not saved. I'll tell you who's saved, though. Those who have received by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I can't say if you've done that. Only you know that. Right? So you see, those who have not done that are not saved. But did you know that you could be saved and mind earthly things? There are those who just have a little religion. And that religion has not given them the power to live beyond this earth. Notice what's said. And I want to bring this down and let's begin to talk about what it means to mind earthly things. Paul describes it right here. He describes it. Now, before I do, I want to ask you to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture. Okay? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to, first of all, take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll come back and finish up in Philippians, but I want you to look at Matthew 7. And here's a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus, He's wrapping up His Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter number 7, He says, basically what Paul is saying here, there are those who are minding earthly things, and there are those who are minding heavenly things. And He said, we're in a journey. Every person's in a pathway. Every person is traveling. Every person is walking. And He said, you are either on one of two paths. You're either on the straight path or you're on the wide path. All right? Now, you can't be on both. He said, you're either or. And that's in Matthew chapter 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Now, I want you to remember that. We're going to come back to that. Broad is the way that leadeth to, remember that word, destruction. And He said, many there be which go in thereat. Now, you see that many? You see what it says there? Many. They're the ones that's going on the broad way. Now, they're going to show up again in chapter 7. I'm going to show you where they show up again. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. Many. See, there they are again. Now, hear me now. Many. He's talking about people that have gone on the wide gate. They've entered the wide gate. They're on the broad way. That many, He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. He said, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So you see, He said, essentially what He's saying here is there's many that's going away along in the pathway of life. They think they're okay. They think, well, you know what? I'm just going to cruise through this thing, and I mention the name of God every now and then. I own a Bible. What's the big deal? I'm going to heaven. You're not going to heaven if you've never repented of your sin and had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. And I do not say that out of judgment. I do not say that out of anger or hatred. I say that, as Paul said it, I say it with a broken heart to warn you that hell is the final destination for every person that does not know Christ as their personal Savior. Now, there may be someone out there that would say, well, now, preacher, surely to goodness, I mean, 2018, you don't believe in hell. I mean, hardly nobody believes in hell in 2018. I'm going to tell you something. The people in 1918 believed in hell. There's people in 2018 that believe in hell. And if we make it to 2118, there's still going to be people that believe in hell. Now, they've done a worldwide average, and I'm not going to bore you with statistics, But I will tell you what they did is they went around the world and they asked people in America, they asked people in South America, they asked people in Europe, they asked people in Asia, do you believe in hell? And they got different numbers. All of them really were kind of low. And the question was, do you believe in hell? Well, 40% of this nationality believed in it. Well, 35%, 27% believe this. But I'm going to tell you, there's two places where everybody believes in hell. 100%. Heaven and hell. 100%. And can I tell you, that's the final destination of every person that's ever breathed in this life. So you may be sitting here, I don't believe in hell. That doesn't matter. That doesn't change the fact that there is one. And I'm not saying that now to be ugly and mean and smart. I'm saying it because it's so. It's so. And Jesus said there's a broad way. You're on a journey. You're on a journey. You're walking through life. And he said there's a broad way. And he said there's a straight way in verse number 13. And he said in verse number 14, that straight gate is a narrow way. All right? Now, people say, hey, that preacher Freeman, we don't go down there. He's narrow. Well, I don't know about that. I'll tell you, I'm not too narrow, amen? But I'll tell you this, I'm on the narrow way. Amen? And I'm not going to apologize for that. Don't you ever apologize for being on the narrow way. That's the way that leadeth to life. Now, don't confuse the narrow way with narrow-minded. Don't do that now. And so, did you get that? There's going to be many. And look at it again, one more time. This is the Lord Jesus himself. This is God in the flesh making this statement in verse number 13. He said, broad, right in the middle of verse 13, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And he said in verse number 22, many. Many is going to say. All right. There's many people think, I'm okay. I'm all right. He said, no, you're not. You're not okay because you got a little religion or you got a little do better. You're only okay if your sin is forgiven and you've come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Amen? All right. Now, I want you to turn to some other scripture. Go to Hebrews. We'll come back to Philippians. I'm going to get there. Hebrews in chapter number 11. In Hebrews 11, the apostle is sharing with us some people that live by faith. They live by faith. They believed God's promises. They were living by faith. It's the greatest way to live, is to live by faith. And he said, I'm going to tell you about these people. These people had heaven in mind. These people lived looking for a better day. Now, it doesn't mean that they were no earthly good. You know, some people can become so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. You ever met someone like that? And I want to tell you something. That's rare. It's usually the other way around. It's rare to find somebody that way. But there are people that way. All they think about is it's what's going to be, and they lose track of what's now. In other words, they lose track of the fact that God left them here for a purpose. You see, fulfill that purpose. Now, as you're fulfilling that purpose, fulfill it with the mindset of knowing you're going to give an account in the future day of the way you went about fulfilling it. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches here, brethren. And so the Bible says in Hebrews 11, look if you would in verse 13. These all died in faith. By the way, we are too. Now you're going to die. You say, well, I didn't come to church to hear that. Well, it's just a reality. All right? And it's not so bad when you die in faith. He said, these all died in faith in verse number 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And don't forget that. We're travelers. We're strangers and pilgrims. Amen? That's what we as believers are. Look at verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. See, I'm traveling. I'm seeking something. I'm going somewhere, brethren. I'm going somewhere. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, Paul said, listen to me now. He said, they're not earthly minded. He said, you know what earthly minded people do? They backslide. Now, listen carefully now. I'm teaching you the Bible. Earthly minded people just never can get it. Earthly minded people only live for now. only live for the world, only live for the earth. They never live for that world that is to come. It's all about now. And Paul said, and right here in the Bible now, the inspired, infallible Word of God, God's Word now said this. Said in verse number 15, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out. You see that? If all they were thinking about was the earth, the world, now. He said, well, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He said, they'd have went back. They'd have went back. They'd have went back on God. By the way, if that's the way we live, we're going to go back on God too. You know why people cannot live the victorious Christian life? Because their roots are too deep in this world. Now listen. Look what he said in verse number 16. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Perhaps there's somebody here saying, you know, I want to live for God. I'm just struggling. I'm up and down. I'm in and out. I'm earthly minded and I'm heavenly minded. I'm just back and forth, preacher. I want to get it settled. How can I do that? Look what the Bible says here in verse number 16. He said, but now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. See, they're heavenly minded. They've learned what it is to become heavenly minded versus earthly minded. Because there's only two groups of people. And he said here, he said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared a city for them. Now, as we turn back to Philippians and close this out with some thoughts in chapter number 3, I've laid what I want to be a foundation to you. Hold your place here in Philippians chapter 3 and then turn to Revelation chapter 6 and I'm going to build on that foundation. I want to talk to you about what it is to be heavenly minded and earthly minded. How can I get this down, preacher? I'm in the world. I'm here in this earth. How can I be heavenly minded and be right here? I want to help you to do that. Okay, from the Bible. I want to help you to do that. Because I believe that most people, I don't even think you would be here today if you didn't have somewhat of a desire to want to do that. I know I want to be that way. And I believe that many of you do. How can we do it? How can we be heavenly minded as we live here upon earth? As we're making our journey to our final destination, how can we remain heavenly minded? How can we live with heaven in view? Well, the Bible says here, if you'll notice in Philippians chapter number 3, he said in verse number 19, verse number 18, many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Now that is a statement. Enemies of the cross. People who live as if there is no future. They're all in right here. Nothing about their life says there's an afterlife. Nothing about it. You know what happens? It's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. You see this group of people? Look at it in verse 18. Many walk with whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. Paul said, I am, he said, it's sad to see how many people are deceived. Even those who would say they're Christians in Paul's day and even in our day, he said, it's sad to see. He said, I'm weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They say that they believe. They say that they're changed, but their life says the opposite. They say that they want to please God, but their life says they want to please themselves. They say they want to do God's will, but their life says it's going to do their will. These are the enemies of Christ. He said they're the enemies of the cross. They're sending a false signal, and it's confusing people. What is a Christian, they ask. Can you see it? Look at it in verse number 18. For many of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. Here's Paul writing the letter. He said, right now, as I'm writing you this letter, look at it carefully now. Here, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now, right now, tell you, even weeping. I'm writing this letter, and there's tears running down my face, Paul said. He's chained, you read this letter, he's chained to a guard, a Roman guard. And the Roman guard perhaps looks down at Paul and said, Paul, I see you weeping, I understand why you're weeping. You're in a mess, man. You're in a mess. They're going to take your head. You know that, don't you, Paul? They're coming after you. You know that, don't you? They're not going to allow you to preach that way. They're not going to allow you to call the name of Jesus. They're coming after you. They're coming after your life. Is that why you're weeping, Paul? No, it's not, sir. That's not why I'm weeping. Is it your family? Paul, is it your family? Do you feel forsaken? Do you feel like you've been cut off from your family and you'll never see them again? Is that why you weep here, Paul? No, that's not why I weep, sir. Is it your enemies? Are you weeping because of how your enemies have chased you down like an animal and have corralled you up and have thrown you into this dungeon? Is that why? Well, it's my enemies, but not because of what they've done to me. It's because they're enemies of the cross that I preach. Paul said, I weep because my heart is rent. My heart is broken because of people who name the name of Christ. But, in verse number 19, they're minding earthly things. There's no real possession. It's all about profession. What has happened? Revelation chapter 6, turn there if you would. In Revelation 6, there is this phrase that is scary. Now, I want you to listen to me. The spirit of Antichrist is at work. I know I'm not the only one that the devil puts all kinds of just outlandish, crazy thoughts in my mind. You say, well, preacher, you must be. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. The devil will tell you all kinds of things. The devil will tell you God doesn't love you. Devil ever told you that? God doesn't love you. God doesn't care about you. The Bible's a farce. The church is fake. Christians are phonies. Devil ever tell you that stuff? Come on, folks. Listen. I'm asking a question. Does the devil ever tell you that? Does the devil ever come to you and tempt you to try to doubt God's word, to try to doubt God's man, to try to doubt God's people? To even doubt God Himself. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist saying, dig in. Dig in. Hunker down right here. And it's going to prevail. We need to be praying for forgiveness. But can I tell you something the church has forgotten to pray for? We have, listen, we pray much for forgiveness and we need it. God knows we need it. But we need to pray for deliverance. There is an enemy who is attacking, who is coming, and he's trying to steal the seed, and he's trying to steal the peace of God's people. It's real. And we have quit praying for deliverance and for God to bind back the forces of evil and to help us to live in victory. Notice, if you would, in Revelation chapter number 6, I'm just going to read a few scripture, and I want you to get the thought here. Let me find where I've written them now. Look at verse number 10 of Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Look at the last part of Revelation chapter 6, verse number 10. Look at this. On them that dwell on the earth. Look at Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11. Look at the latter part of verse number 10. This is about the two witnesses here. And here's what it says. It says, and they that dwell upon the earth. They're going to make merry and rejoice and give gifts. Not that it's Christmas, but because God's two prophets, God's two witnesses have been slain and drug out in the city. You know who they are? You know who these people that are rejoicing are? Look at what the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 11. Latter part of verse number 10, I'm sorry. They're they that dwell on the earth. Can I tell you what the Bible's trying to tell us in these verses and many or others? I'm going to get you to turn there. Earth dwellers. This is all there is. There is no heaven. There is no hell. It's just earth. It's just earth. It's just now. Away with God. Away with God's word. Away with God's prophets. Away with God's people. Earth dwellers. We're all in right now. It's all about now. You live, you die, it's over. Hell, I want to tell you, that's a lot of hell. Listen to me. It's a lot of hell. And it's being told around this world. And the spirit of Antichrist has caused people to harbor this lie in their heart. And they're hunkered down and they're living that way. And if you're not careful, and if I'm not careful, we will gravitate to that mindset. It's all about now. Earth dwellers. Forget heaven. Forget hell. Forget final destination. Forget eternity. None of that's real. Live your life now. Go for the gusto, they say. Live for the moment. Is that what you hear? It's the message of the spirit of Antichrist. Notice what the Bible says. Let's look at a few more. Chapter 13, the book of the Revelation. The church has been lifted out. The rapture of the church has taken place. The time of Jacob's trouble has begun. God is dealing with His chosen people, Israel, through tribulation and great tribulation. And the mindset of the people are the earth, the earth. You go through the book of Revelation, I challenge you and find this phrase, those that dwell on the earth, those that dwell on the earth, those that dwell on the earth, earth dwellers, earth dwellers. Notice what the Bible says in chapter 13, look at verse number 8. Chapter 13, the book of the Revelation, verse number 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Earth dwellers, brethren, are you listening to me? Earth dwellers. Chapter number 13 again is mentioned in verse number 14. Look at it. The latter part of that verse, right in the middle of that verse says, and saying to them that dwell upon the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Those that dwell on the earth. Over and over. I could go on and on, but because of time, I'm going to actually turn back to the book of Philippians. See what's happening here? Earth dwellers. The spirit of Antichrist says it's all about now. It's all about now. That preacher up there getting all riled up about this and that. He's a fake. He's a phony. That Christian over here that says he's safe. Oh, he thinks he's perfect. He thinks he's holier than thou. They're fake. They're phonies. They may not be fake or phony. They're just not perfect. Listen, hey, don't you ever believe that lie. I'm so thankful to God for real Christianity, for real Christian people that God put in my life that makes a difference in life. Amen? Not everyone's a hypocrite. Not everyone's a phony. I know they're out there, but praise be to God, there's some real Christians, and I thank God for every one of them. Many of them sitting in this building today. You say, but preacher, now I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not either. None of us are. Jesus is. Amen? But that doesn't mean that we're earth dwellers. See, this crowd, the earth dwellers. Don't you be an earth dweller now. Those that dwell on the earth. Don't you be a pagan that's just this all in. Got your roots so deep down in this earth, you're not looking ahead. Final destination's coming. Don't just mind earthly things. Listen, I understand life has been so arranged that we have to mind some earthly things. Don't misunderstand the message. But if that's all you're living for, you're an enemy of the cross. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 18 of Philippians chapter 3. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I want to give you three quick things and I'll finish this message, the Lord willing, tonight. You say, I'm not coming back tonight. Well, I wish you would. I do. I want you to listen. Listen, I want you to know something. This is where it's at right here, brethren. I believe with all of my heart. This is what we Christians have got to get. If we don't get this, listen, you're sitting there right now and you say, I'm so tied into this world, I can't break free, preacher. I can't break free. You can too. You say, how do you know? I want you to notice something in verse 21. Look at the way this verse 21 ends. It says, whereby he's able. When Michael's in the choir sing he's able, I just smiled real big because I knew that was my major point to close this message. Can I tell you that God is able? You ought to go through the Bible and just read every time that it says he's able, he's able, he's able, he's able, he's able. Paul said he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. There's not nothing going on in my life, in your life, that God is not able to take care of. Somebody say amen with me now. I'm here to tell you God is able. You may be sitting there saying, I'm defeated, preacher. I've become so engrossed and so tied down in this world. I can't break free. Yes, you can too, because God is able. Amen. God's able. Amen. You'll never do it in yourself. I'll never do it myself. We need some help. We need some help. It's got to go beyond the preacher's help. It's got to get beyond the church's help. It's got to go to the God of the preacher. It's got to go to the God of the church. Amen? We need help from God above. But I'm here to tell you that God is my helper. And I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. God's your helper too. What about these earth dwellers? What about the spirit of Antichrist that has crept into our churches and crept into our world to where everybody's living for now? Listen, I wrote some things down as I was in my study and God spoke to my heart. The next party, the next game, the next dinner, the next weekend, the next event, the next line to snort, the next drink to drink, the next fix to run, the next fling to go on, that seems to be what everybody's living for now. This old world. Everybody working for the weekend. Everybody working for a little party, a little immorality, a little drunkenness. Hey, I want to tell you there's something better to live for. We get so honed in. The world's pulling us, isn't it? World pulling at you. You say, preacher, the world ever pull on you, pulling me every time I turn around. Every time I turn around, the world's just pulling, 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 pulling. The spirit of Antichrist, it's real. It's real. I'd be a fool to stand up here and say, well, you know, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Living the Christian life is easy. It is not easy. We have an enemy. While it may not be enemy, I want to tell you, thank God it's possible. I said it's possible. Amen. By the power of Jesus Christ. I know the devil pulls. He pulls on me, he pulls on you. You go to pray, he tries to cloud your mind like short-circuiting a circuit board. Everything running through your mind except for what you ought to be praying about. I'm the only one who has that. Huh? Temptation on every corner being pulled to trying to convince it's not worth it, just quit. Am I the only one that goes through that? Oh, preacher, you shouldn't admit that. It's so. Listen to me now. I said it's so. See, the devil wants you to think you're the only one. He wants you to think you're a loser. He wants you to think you're defeated. He wants you to think there's no way out. But I'm here to tell you that with God, all things are possible. You can live for Jesus if you want to. If you want to. But now it's going to take more than just a desire. Paul said here in verse number 19, he said, these enemies of the cross, he said, they're earth dwellers. They're all in for right now. Right now. That's the message of today. Right now. Next party. Next good time. Next fling. Next drink. It's all in. Right now. This is the big thing. Right now. I'm going to tell you what God says the big thing is. Judgment day. See, on God's calendar, that's the big thing. Everything that we do ought to be looking toward that day where we all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want to mention these and I'll close. Would you underline them in your Bible? Preacher, what do people who are earth dwellers, now we'll get to heaven minded, okay? What are they earthly minded? Three things. Did you see them in verse 19? Number one, he said, who's in? Oh, now we're earth dwellers. There is no end. It's over. Paul said, you've been deceived. That's why I'm weeping for you. You've been deceived. He said, whose end is destruction? Remember what Jesus said? Many there be that enter into destruction. You know what that word destruction means? It means void, waste, lost. A lost life. They were so hooked into this world and thought this world was going to give them everything they wanted. And in the end, they're going to find out it really gave them nothing of eternal value. Nothing. When they died, it all died with them. There were no treasures sent ahead. What a sad way to exist. Whose end is destruction. We'll talk about that a little more tonight. Then look at the second thing. Whose God is their belly. You say, preacher, now you shouldn't preach this message on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Well, come back tonight, we'll talk about, it's not talking about just appetite. Not just an appetite for food, but an appetite for insatiable pleasures. The next thing that's going to bring them a physical fulfillment. It's all about now. Whose God is their belly. So the first thing it talks about is destiny. You see that? Destruction. The second thing is deity. Notice the word God there is in capital letters. Isn't that something? They have replaced their lover. Instead of being a lover of God, they're a lover of pleasures. Well, Timothy heard that from Paul. They no longer love God. They love pleasures. And so it's their deity. And then finally, it's their depravity. Notice what he said here. Whose glory is in their shame. The things they should be ashamed of, they're bragging about. Man, I cussed him out. Huh? Boy, I got with old so-and-so. We had us a little immorality. Boy, we pitched a drunk last night. The things people should be ashamed about. Paul said, when you become an earth dweller, when you become rooted into the things of this world only, the things that you should be ashamed of, you're actually glorying in. So here's three things that the Bible says about those who mind, you see it there, earthly things. Well, I'm thankful that you can mind heavenly things. We'll talk further about that another time. Minding earthly things, minding heavenly things. Preacher, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Well, the first question is, do you realize you need a change? You see, as long as I think, as long as you think, as long as we're satisfied, change is not going to come. The only way that we're going to get really serious about changing our lives is to become dissatisfied with where we are in life. Because that's what prompts and motivates people to change. As long as you think, I'm okay, you're not going to be compelled to make changes. But when you realize, I'm not okay, I need some help, I need some change, well, now you've taken that first step. And then you realize, you can't do it yourself. You need God to help you. I can't do it myself. I need God to help me. And then you begin to go to God's resources that He's given. His Word, prayer, His church, His people. You begin to build on these things, allowing these resources that God has given to have their part in helping you be who you could and should be. And then you make a commitment, God, with your help, I'm going to be heavenly minded and not earthly minded. Oh, I have to mind some earthly. I have some responsibilities. I have a job. I have a family. I have my health. I have some things that I have to mind here on earth, but I'm not going to allow that to dominate my life. I want all that I do to look forward to the fact that I'm a Christian. That's what Paul said in verse 20. Let's all stand to our feet. I knew when I was writing these notes, I'll never finish the message. That's okay. Jesus may come and the message may never get finished. But I believe I preached what God wanted me to preach this morning. I really believe the subject that I preached this morning, it's where it's at. It's people realizing, yes, they're saved and they're lost. That's very important. But then, how are you living? What are you living for? Who are you living for? Earthly minded? Heavenly minded? You know, and someone's going to take this wrong. I don't want you to take it wrong. I want you to hear me now. In our country, among Christians, we become so concerned about left and right. Now, I believe that makes a difference, but I'm going to tell you something that's more important than that. Above and below. That's more important than left and right. Well, is he left or right? I'm concerned about, is he going up or is he going down? Don't misunderstand me now. I'm very concerned, and I want to stay involved. I want to do my part. Left and right. But as Christians, I got to keep my mind fixed first on, is that person, not are they liberal or conservative. First, saved or lost. You see? Very important. You say, well, if you're conservative, they're saved. I know you don't believe that. Let's bow our heads together. God speak to your heart this morning. Did he?